Could you turn with me, please, in your Bibles to 2 Thessalonians and the chapter 1. Second Thessalonians chapter 1, and we're going to read the entire chapter together. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, and beginning our reading at the verse 1. And the word of God says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus unto the church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all persecutions and tribulations that ye endure, which is a manifest token of the righteous judgment of God, that ye may be counted worthy of the kingdom of God, for which ye also suffer, seeing it is a righteous thing with God to recompense tribulation to them that trouble you. And to you who are troubled, rest with us, when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, in flaming fire, taking vengeance upon them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, and from the glory of his power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints, and to be admired in all of them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Wherefore also we pray always for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling, and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness, and the work of faith with power, that the name of our Lord Jesus Christ may be glorified in you, and ye in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless this reading of his own inspired word. Well, could you turn with me, please, in your Bibles again to Exodus chapter 5. Exodus chapter 5, and we read together just the first five verses of this chapter. Exodus and the chapter 5, and we're beginning our reading at verse 1. And the word of God says, And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord, that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. And they said, The God of the Hebrews hath met with us. Let us go, we pray thee, 3 days' journey into the desert, and sacrifice unto the Lord our God, lest he fall upon us with pestilence or with the sword. And the king of Egypt said unto them, Wherefore do ye, Moses and Aaron, let the people from their works? Get you unto your burdens. Amen. And we trust and pray that the Lord will bless the reading of his word. As we come to the preaching of the word, let's just bow in prayer. Ask the Lord for his help at this time. God in heaven, we thank thee for the word of God which is open before us. We pray that, Lord, you would teach us from thy word this night. Open up the word, and we pray that, Lord, it would come with clarity and with conviction to the heart of each one in this meeting. We pray for help to both preacher and hearer alike. We pray above all that, Lord, you'd help us to be attentive and to be obedient to thy word. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. My text for tonight is found in the verse 2 there of Exodus chapter 5. It says, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." These words and the scene before us in God's precious word is truly a dramatic scene. For in it we find Moses and Aaron coming before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, with a message that demands Pharaoh's obedience. This message comes, as we see in verse 1, from the Lord God of Israel, from the Lord God Almighty. This message, in essence, was a demand by God to Pharaoh to release the people of Israel from their bondage. These people were being held by Pharaoh at that very moment as slaves and had done so for almost 400 years. Their lives were in his hands. Pharaoh ruled over these people. He was the one who determined what they would do and where they would go and how they would live. He controlled every aspect of their lives. And in that sense, Pharaoh then was answerable to no man, least of all the Israelites. And yet here in this passage of God's word, we find Pharaoh being confronted with a message that requires his obedience. Look with me in verse 1. Read, "And afterward Moses and Aaron went in and told Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, Let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness." And it's obvious when we read these words that a command is being given. A command is being given to this man who receives no commands from any man. He is the king over all of Egypt. And yet here are these men coming in and they're saying to Pharaoh, you are going to obey the word of God. Moses, in effect, is telling the king of Egypt that there is a king who is greater than him, a king whose word is to be obeyed. This message comes from the King of Kings, who possesses absolute power, who possesses power greater even than the king of Egypt, even than Pharaoh himself. And his power no man can resist. This message comes with divine authority. It comes from God himself. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel. And those words show to us that this message comes with the authority of God himself, demanding that Pharaoh conform to the will of God. Now do you see the magnitude and the enormity of this scene and what Moses is really saying to Pharaoh? God has spoken, the one who has created all men, the one who is sovereignly in control of all things. And here God is demanding obedience from Pharaoh. Let me just pause to say at this stage that the same is the case for you tonight. For as God's word is presented to you, a message is being presented to you. A message that demands, that requires your obedience. A message that of you coming in submission and humility to Jesus Christ and falling upon him in repentance and faith. That message demands your obedience. Now notice with me that Pharaoh's response to this message was one of contempt. We read in verse 2, "And Pharaoh said, Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." Now we must understand that this was not a genuine question. It was not a question seeking a true answer, a question being asked because he really wanted to know. It was a question uttered in contempt. And this contempt was not so much because of the message itself, but was because of the source of this message. For this message comes from the Lord God himself, and therefore Pharaoh's contempt, Pharaoh's mocking was primarily directed against God. I want you to notice that tonight as you look at this passage. For Pharaoh says, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice?" You see, Pharaoh, being an idolater, he insults the true God. He repudiates his holy name. He impiously rejects this message because he primarily rejects God and rejects this one who is demanding obedience from him. It is very important we see that, because Pharaoh's reaction to this message highlights to us the state of depraved and sinful men, a state that is characterized by ignorance and by disobedience. Is that not what we read in verse 2? "I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." And so Pharaoh's condition is shown in this. He is ignorant of God. He's disobedient of God by his very own profession. And surely this is most evident in our society today, as we observe the rise in atheistic thinking, the rise in moral declension that is so prevalent. Mankind, in his fallen state, does not know the Lord. He does not obey the Lord, but rather disobeys in thought, word, and deed. And is this not so clearly revealed whenever the gospel is preached? For the gospel is a command for men and women to repent of their sin and believe the gospel. And is it not true that as that message goes forth, it is revealed that man's heart is ignorant of God and disobedient of God? And is it not true that as the gospel goes forth for you tonight who are unsaved, that it reveals the fact that deep within your heart you know nothing of God, and neither do you want to know him, and you do not want to obey him? And you see tonight that while this scene is many thousands of years ago, yet is it not so appropriate? And is it not so clearly showing to you tonight, if you're unsaved, what is the very case with you tonight? For a sinner, the heart of Pharaoh, a heart characterized by ignorance and disobedience, is the heart that you too have tonight. And therefore, the only way that you can be saved is to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, to come and obey the Lord Jesus Christ, the one in whom is life eternal, the one who is the only Savior of sinners. And so I want to consider with you tonight the state of sinful man, the state of sinful man. And I want you to see with me firstly that man is in a state of ignorance. Man is in a state of ignorance. We read in verse 2 that Pharaoh said, "I know not the Lord." I know not the Lord. Pharaoh's statement here reveals the true state of his heart. A heart that was ignorant, a heart that was idolatrous, a heart that was dark, a heart that was at enmity with God, a heart that wants nothing to do with God, a heart that knows nothing of God. And Pharaoh's ignorance of God is displayed in the manner in which he spoke of the Lord and the low view that Pharaoh had of him. It is obvious when we read verse 2, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go?" And Pharaoh there is expressing the fact that He does not believe that he must obey this command. He does not believe this message has come with divine authority. He does not accept that this message is to be obeyed because he is ignorant of God. Who is the Lord? Why should I obey this command? What reason is there that I should be in conformity to this message? Pharaoh speaks so impiously, so arrogantly. In a sense, his words are blasphemous. His speech shows that he does not understand the power of God. And surely this is observed in his repeated refusal to obey the Lord, even as plague after plague falls upon Egypt. In the chapters that follow, we see that he continues to disobey God over and over, and more plagues come upon Egypt, which show the power of God. Show that Pharaoh could not resist the Lord, and yet he continues to disobey God, showing that he does not understand the power of God. And each plague shows in increasing clearness the infinite power and sovereignty of God. And yet he believed in his own ignorance that he could resist and defy God. You turn over to chapter 7 and the verse 14 of Exodus. Exodus 7 and the verse 14, it says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh's heart is hardened. He refuses to let the people go." There's Moses' heart. There's Pharaoh's heart. He will not let the people go because he doesn't understand the power of God. For if he did, he would not resist God for a single minute. Who is this man? Yes, king of Egypt, but only a man. And here he is defying God. How like some of you this very night who are here in this meeting and you are defying God with your sin, with your rejection of the gospel, with your treatment of Christ. And you sit here tonight, and the reason you reject Christ and you continue to offend God with your sin is because you do not understand the power of God. You understand nothing of Him. But if you understood the power of God, you would not resist Him for a single minute. You would not rebel against him anymore. And does that not tell us then that men and women defy God because they do not know him? Why would a finite creature defy the infinite, eternal, and unchangeable God? It's because they do not know him. Is that not true of you tonight? And the word of God confirms this to us. You turn with me to Ephesians 4 and the verse 18. Ephesians chapter 4 and the verse 18. Here we see that ignorance of God is characteristic of all sinners. Ephesians 4 and the verse 18 says, "Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." They're a sinful man, ignorant of God. He's blinded to the revelation of God that is in nature and in creation because sin has blurred his vision. Man's heart is corrupt. He doesn't know the Lord. He's deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And surely this point highlights to us the great distinction between the saved and the unsaved. Because a Christian is a person who has been brought out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of the knowledge of God. A person who has received revelation from God, who has received the gospel in Christ. Is that not what the Apostle Paul says when he speaks of his own experience? And he says, "I know whom I have believed." He knew. He was no longer ignorant of Christ. And Paul was a Christian Because he knew Jesus Christ, he had a relationship with him. And we think of that point and we realize that it is only through Jesus Christ that we can know God. Is that not what Jesus Christ himself said? He that has seen me has seen the Father. How is it that we can know God? How is it that you tonight, sinner, can know an infinite God? It is by coming to know Jesus Christ. For we do not we read in John 14:6, where our Savior says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. No man can truly know God savingly, but by Jesus Christ. Sinner, that is why you need Christ so much tonight. Because you're ignorant of him. You're ignorant of God. And the only way that that is going to change is if you come. You seek for God. You seek for Christ. And you come to know him. And know his saving power in your own life. But here we see that man is in a state of ignorance. But then secondly tonight, man is in a state of disobedience. Man is in a state of disobedience. We read in verse 2 that Pharaoh says, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. This statement of Pharaoh here, neither will I let Israel go, was a direct violation of the command of God. God had said to Pharaoh in verse 1, let my people go. And Pharaoh's reply is, I'm not going to do that. And such a reply of disobedience indicated a scornful contempt for the authority of the Lord. God's message was binding upon Pharaoh. It demanded his obedience, even though he was king of Egypt, and yet here we find that he rebelled against the Lord and he defied the Almighty. It is true that this disobedience of Pharaoh stemmed from his ignorance, for ignorance and contempt of God are at the bottom of all the wickedness that is in the world. Man is ignorant of the power of God. And therefore, he defies the authority of God. The law of God declares to men his holiness, declares to men the authority of God. And yet, men in sin will not obey. You turn with me to Romans chapter 8 and the verse 7, and we see this point so clearly. Romans chapter 8 and the verse 7. Romans 8 and the verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. You see, there is the state of a sinner tonight. He's not subject to the law of God. He's not living in obedience to the law of God, and he can never be until his heart is changed. Because the heart of a sinner is bent towards sin, is inclined towards sin. He is not subject to the law of God. Man is in this state of disobedience. But this disobedience, not only does it stem from ignorance, but it also stems from pride. For those that are prideful are also disobedient. We read in Psalm 10, and the verse 4, the wicked through the pride of his countenance will not seek after God. God is not in all his thoughts. Do you realize what that last phrase of verse 4 actually means when it says God is not in all his thoughts? It could be translated this way. It is a good translation, but in another sense it could be put this way. There is no God. That is what men in their sin and their pride say. God is not in all his thoughts. Or in other words, there is no God. And so in that statement, men and their pride just throw God away. There is no God, so I don't have to obey him. And is that not why atheism is on the increase today? Why do you think, you ask yourself that tonight, why do you think that atheism is on the increase in our society today? It comes down to this very point, that men and women do not want to obey the law of God, and the easiest way to do that is to deny that God even exists. That is why. And perhaps that's why tonight you deny that God exists. You realize that the Word of God calls you a fool, because it is foolish. But let's get to the heart of the matter and be honest with yourself tonight. This here is the reason why. Because you do not want to obey the Lord. Wicked man is filled with pride, and thus he does not serve God, but he serves himself. He only thinks of himself. Man in sin and in disobedience is characterized by selfishness. He will not listen to anybody else. He will not obey anybody else. And in other words, men are saying, who made thee a ruler over us? Why should we obey God? I'm not making these things up, am I? Is that not true that we see such sentiments displayed in the world today? And if you're unconverted tonight and you look into your heart, you will see that the very same things that I'm saying are there. Disobedience of God, pride, denying of God. You know, when we look at Pharaoh and his life, such was his pride that he repetitively disobeyed God. And we find that as he did so, his heart became harder and harder and harder. Disobedience characterized his entire life to the extent that while he did let the people go after the 10 plagues, he did not truly obey the Lord. For do we not find that only a short while after the people of Israel have left Egypt, Pharaoh is found pursuing them? You turn with me over to chapter 14 and you will see this very point. And we realize that not at any point did Pharaoh obey the Lord. Chapter 14 and the verse 5 and 6. Exodus 14 and the verse 5 and 6 says, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. Now do you understand that Pharaoh never obeyed the Lord? He never submitted himself to the will of God. Here he is, setting out to pursue the people of Israel. Because he was a disobedient man. And the dreadful thing, and yet the reality is, that day when Pharaoh perished in the waters of the Red Sea, he died a rebellious sinner. He died as a man who had never, not once, obeyed the Lord. Is that not a terrible thing? That a creature created and made by God would spend their entire life in disobedience to God and would not once, not even once, obey God. And yet how dreadful a thought that is too for those here in this meeting who are not saved. That you would die and pass into eternity having never obeyed the Lord. And yet that is what's going to happen. If you reject the gospel and you go out into life and one day you're going to die. You see, what a terrible thing. What a solemn truth this is regarding man's state, that he's characterized by disobedience. And if he never comes to obey the gospel, he lives a life of complete disobedience to his Maker. You see, the Apostle John put it this way. He said, if we say that we have not sinned, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If you're here tonight and you say, I haven't sinned, I've lived a good life, I'm okay, I'm destined for heaven. And there are many that have that view. Do you realize you're deceiving yourself? You're convincing yourself of a lie. Because the reality is, as is true for all mankind since the fall, that men and women have lived a life of disobedience and of sin. They resolutely deny the demands of God because there's no fear of God before their eyes. There's no love for God in their heart. Is it not true within your heart tonight, sinner, that there is no fear of God and there is no love for God in your heart? Is that not true? You observe the disobedience and the rebellion that is within your heart to God and realize that you need to repent of it. That is what you must do. You need to repent. Your disobedience deserves to be punished, and God will do so in His infinite justice and righteousness if you pass out through death into eternity, having never repented and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. But yet there is a remedy, and it's only found in Jesus Christ. And again, it emphasizes to you why you need Him so desperately. For by His life and His death, He provided a righteousness that was lacking in every sinner. He bore the penalty of sin on the behalf of sinners. And it is only through Him that you can escape the justice of God. But I close this evening with my third and final point. And that is that man is in a state of condemnation. Man is in a state of condemnation. You turn with me to chapter 14 and the verse 28. Exodus 14 and the verse 28. Exodus 14 and the verse 28, it says, and the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them, there remained not so much as one of them. Now we noted earlier that Pharaoh died in the very act of disobeying God. And his death points us to the condemnation of ignorant and disobedient sinners. Pharaoh's life of sin and disobedience came to an end. It came to an end in the portion we're reading of here in the Red Sea. When the billows of water from the Red Sea came crashing down upon Pharaoh and all of his host and destroyed them. You see, the judgment of God. And that is what we see as the Red Sea comes down upon the host of Egypt. The judgment of God fell upon them. And they were destroyed. Do you not realize from that then, this simple truth, and yet how often it is denied, that sin brings judgment. You need to understand that tonight. It happened in Pharaoh's life, and it happened in the life of every ungodly man or woman who has rejected Christ, that sin always brings judgment. Did we not read of that in 2 Thessalonians 1 and the verse 8 we read earlier in the service? About the judgment of God coming upon those who know not God and obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that verse ties in with what we're considering here. The fact that God's judgment, God's wrath, is going to be poured out on those who are ignorant of God and disobedient of Him. That is what is going to happen in the day of judgment. Thus, how terrible it is that sinful man continues in his life, and yet he's living under the condemnation of God. And one day he's going to be brought to account for his life of rebellion and rejection. Do we not read in John 3 in the verse 36 that the wrath of God abides upon those who believe not? That's speaking of you tonight if you're unsaved. He that believeth not is condemned already. You're in a state of condemnation tonight. And surely these thoughts on man's state, being ignorant, being disobedient, and under a state of condemnation, emphasizes to you, dear sinner, how desperately you need Jesus Christ. You see, it is by him and through him that we know God. It is by him that we are made fit to have a relationship with God. It is by him that our guilt and our punishment for our own sin is dealt with. It is by him alone that we receive a perfect righteousness that is satisfying to God. It is by him alone that we are saved from the condemnation of God. You see, our Lord himself made that very clear. He that believeth on me hath everlasting life. He that believeth on me is not condemned. And surely that should thrill your heart tonight and fill your heart with love for Christ. For you realize as we consider these things, and you realize the solemn state you're in tonight, and realize that judgment is so close. And yet here is Christ, and in him you can escape the judgment of God. That wrath that is upon you this very night is taken away, is satisfied in the death of Jesus Christ upon the cross. And by faith, you can be delivered from that condemnation. And so I leave with you that simple message that has been preached through all of time, that you need to repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the only way that you're going to be saved tonight. You need to receive him alone by faith. Confess your sin to him, for you have sinned against him. And therefore you need to confess your sin to him and rest upon him, throw yourself upon him in desperation, realizing that without him you're going to be lost. And put your faith in him alone. For praise God, Jesus Christ can deliver men from their sin, can give them new life. Through him, men and women can know God, can be given a new heart to obey God, can be delivered from the condemnation that is upon them, and know that blessed assurance that they will be with him forever in heaven. I leave that with you tonight. May the life of Pharaoh, who lived and died so many years ago, may that be a lesson for you tonight. Learn from his ignorance, his disobedience, and his condemnation. Realize that his life is telling you one thing. You need to flee to Jesus Christ tonight. That is what you must do. I pray that you would do so for Christ's sake. Let us pray. God in heaven, we thank thee for what we have considered from thy word this night. We thank thee that though man is in this terrible state, the state that has been caused by his own sin, by his own rebellion, yet, Father, we thank thee that God has been merciful and in Christ has provided a way of deliverance and a way of escape, a way of salvation. Lord, we do thank thee for everyone here in this meeting who has been delivered from this awful state. Yet, Lord, we're asking that you would deliver others this night. We pray that they would see Christ and all of his saving power and all of his beauty. Their faith would be placed in him alone. They would forsake their sin, forsake the world, and fall upon him as their only Redeemer and their only Savior. O Lord, have mercy this night, we pray. We thank thee for thy presence here with us. Thank thee for time spent in the house of God today. Bless us now as we part one from the other. May thy word linger on in our hearts. May the word of God be accompanied by the Spirit of God and by conviction in the heart. Lord, work in sinners, we pray. Give them no rest. Lord, even this week, may the word burn into their hearts. That they might come to Christ by faith. Lord, part us now with thy blessing, we pray. We ask, Lord, that the blessing of the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, would rest, remain, and abide upon us until our Savior comes or calls. We ask this now in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen.